Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers. Hello everyone, welcome back. And today we have a special guest, and this guest you've never listened to. His experience and valuable input in ELT. So we have Didrik.
Hello, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Thanks, Didrik. Awesome to have you on.
Yeah, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Didrik. I was born in Belgium. I got into ELT in 2001, took my Trinity Cert TESOL in 2001 in Windsor, then pretty much went straight to China to teach, and then 17 years later I'm still doing this. But it brought me to very interesting places. I worked in China, I worked in Hong Kong, I worked in the States, I worked in Uzbekistan, Spain, Italy, and now I'm back in China. I worked in, I think, in probably every aspect of the industry. So obviously teaching all ages and levels. I was a DOS, so I managed schools. I managed larger regions, done materials. I was an examiner. I wrote materials to prep people for exams. I'm a teacher trainer, mainly for Trinity. I'm also a moderator for Trinity, so I go to other courses and check if they meet the requirements. And now I'm a Cert TESOL and Dip TESOL trainer for Trinity. That's mainly what I do at the moment.
And that's the end of the podcast. Wow. So much experience. That took 15 minutes. And you were also my boss for a little while.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And I think, as I said earlier, you're probably the first person to make me realize there was more to teaching English than just flashcards and fly swats.
Yeah. Oh, finally.
So today we're going to do, I think, two parts. We're going to talk about context. And we can talk about, first of all, can we do the advantages first?
Yes.
And then talk about the tyranny. I thought we could call this context triumph or tyranny. Let's start off by talking maybe about some of the advantages of context. And I think it's something that certainly, I don't know if it's since I did my diploma, it has become more and more popular, or if it's just something I've become more and more aware of. And definitely something I think I've been borderline obsessed about maybe in the past, probably too much. But what have your experiences been with that and your opinions on it?
Very similar. At some point, I would say it was the only thing that I would not question. You know, like a sacred cow, context. The context has to be right, has to be relevant, has to be real world. And then when you see a lesson and the context is absolutely right, it's beautiful. The students are so talkative, they keep on going because it works. But getting the context totally right is very hard. So I think what I tell trainee teachers, when you think about context, the more WH questions you can answer, probably the tighter the context is. So if you can answer only one, then you probably just have a topic, let's say what. But the why and the when are also very important. And who are you talking to? Sometimes there's maybe one that you can't quite answer, and then you feel there's something missing in the freer practice or whatever. For example, there was one lesson I observed that was really good, but it was something was lacking. It was about movies, so they were recommending movies to each other, but in the end it was mechanical. They were doing it because they were nice students and it was nice language, but then in the end there was something lacking, and that was the why are we talking about movies, why are we even recommending it to each other? And just a simple thing like, oh, today is a rainy day, okay, let's go to the cinema. And then there's a lot more purpose to it. So I still think that the why is one of the more crucial ones. Mm-hmm.
This almost seems to be like a task outcome type thing. Then, yeah. Is it like if we have this task and then what's the result that we need to get at the end
exactly.
of it?
Exactly. Yeah, I think task-based learning has had a massive influence on it. Especially it seems to be that one of it is needs to be relevant, needs to be real world.
Because I think the most important thing of having the context, why the students are really motivated, because there is a connection.
Yes.
Because, we'll talk about real life situations, even though sometimes maybe something the students haven't experienced it yet, but they can see there might be a chance in the future and they can be in that situation. So I think that's the intrinsic motivation for learners to be connected to that context.
Yes, it's too often forgotten that we actually are. Why are we here? It's because you need to use it outside of the classroom. There are no flashcards there.
You know? Yes.
You're not going to rank or turn over flashcards and use the word in a sentence.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Maybe we can give a little bit explanation about contact, what context is, because when I was doing teacher training, it seems so many teachers, they couldn't fully understand what it is.
Yeah. I was thinking about this today. I also thought of the context continuum, perhaps. And maybe at one end, you've got like turning over, naming flashcards or something where there's no who, what, why, when, or where. We're just in a language classroom naming flashcards or, you know, the fill in the blank. What is it like? Bob went to work by blank, you know, who's Bob, where does he work, that kind of thing. Yeah. And I think at the other extreme is maybe when the context is real, or the students might believe it to be real, like we're actually talking about something that is, for example, where are we going to go on our class outing? Mm-hmm. Or can you give me advice about learning English? Or the teacher one where the teacher comes in and brings in a problem and pretend it's real life and that the students then sort of react to that. So I sort of see that as being at like the very far end of the continuum where it's real or you're pretending it to be real. And I think slightly further down, maybe is that the sort of cafe type situation, maybe where, you know, we're in a cafe and we're talking, you know, we're having small talk about this and it's obviously pretend, but it's maybe realistic. Yeah, and then, you know, somewhere, you know, and then gradually that sort of fades away all the way down to the sort of naming flashcards.
Yeah, so basically the any language doesn't exist in isolation, especially fixed expressions or sentences or larger utterances. So you need context. So what was said before that? What comes after? But beyond the sentence.
I'd like to share an interesting story. So one of the teacher actually told me her daughter went back home and then she asked her, oh, what did you learn in your English class today? And daughter said, and we learned something about subject plus be verb plus ing.
Yes.
And she said, okay, can you make a sentence? No. That's what I learned. Subject plus be verb plus ing. I think that's so interesting. That definitely she remembered the form, but I think the teacher didn't really explore the context and when, in what situation you were using this form.
I think you found something even further along the continuum beyond the flashcard, maybe.
Yeah.
Deirdre, do you want to tell us about, like, what can you remember the moment when you sort of started to sacrifice or question the sacred cow?
A little bit of context first. When I became a trainer for the Trinity Diploma course, where a relevant context, real world context, is a must pass criteria. Well, for whatever reason, you cannot justify this context to that it has to match your learner's needs, interests, everything, then it's a straight fail. Okay, but then you sometimes see actually lessons that are quite interesting. Students are engaged. There is a topic that obviously is new for them, they never thought about, and it's a straight fail. And I think that's a bit difficult to justify. So that's where I think that something can become a bit of a straitjacket. There's so many interesting things and so much language that you cannot immediately think of a clear context, or the context might be totally new to your learners that you just exclude it from it. So that's when, if context is the only guiding principle, there's so much language you can't cover, so many interesting topics that you can't do. I had a lesson on poetry. It was a straight fail. Teachers go all out of the way to come up with a context, waste 15 minutes to set something up. And you think, like, those 15 minutes could have been spent better because it has to be real world. So they come up in very elaborate context. It's like, this is something I can imagine to be real. Also, there's quite a lot of language that you can, there's no specific context for it. Talking about your childhood, talking about music, favorites. It's like, when do you actually talk about your childhood? So you have to go all out of the way to create some kind of situation where you might be talking to somebody like that. Is that really worth all the time? I don't think so.
I think that's why I noticed when I was a trainer for Cert TESOL and also assessing DIP, I feel like most of the teachers, they're choosing topics like travel, holidays, then like work-related.
Yes, airport. And everything is real and that it becomes so limiting.
Exactly.
There was once a lesson about a religious cult that I saw. It was fascinating. But obviously, it was a straight fail because you can't, can you justify it?
Unless it's like you're in a cult.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same like, let's say, predictions. Yeah. Actually, a fun context is fortune telling. Mm. That would be a straight fail. So you go into something a bit more boring, like career consultancy. Mm. So you do limit it a bit if it has to be absolutely real world. And I think sometimes there's a bit of negative backwash of a qualification like that that becomes gospel. And that people who almost brainwashed by that experience, constantly thinking, oh, it has to be relevant, that when they leave, they get a bit too much like that, and then they limit themselves in the real world. Well, it's just one thing. When I was a student of English in high school, what we talked about, it was about racism, homophobia. I mean, we were 16, 17. Those were not the topics of our choice, you know? We want to maybe talk about music or something. But they obviously had something a bit, well, we want them to talk about social issues and ethical dilemmas.
But this is an English class, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
We never really had vocabulary lessons. I remember moving to England, I didn't know the word for Hoover. I could talk about social issues at length.
He means vacuum cleaner if you're American.
In that context, you would limit yourself. I mean, the world of a 16-year-old, and maybe many people back in the day, maybe they haven't even traveled that much. What are you interested in? Nothing. Nirvana, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And even that, like, I think we were talking about this earlier, like, even that, what's the context for talking about music, right? Where's the sort of task outcome for that? It's very difficult to pinpoint something, isn't it? Beyond going, you're in a cafe and music comes on in Starbucks and you say to your friend, I don't like this.
And says, and you want to change it. You want to walk to the jukebox.
Yeah. The jukebox. We scraped all our money together. Yeah. We only had the pounds. We can choose one song on the jukebox. Yeah.
That was an interesting thing as well. So you were talking about these ethical dilemmas, but actually when a teacher went out of the way and would talk about something you're interested in, you didn't like it. Because I remember a teacher who did something around Nirvana, which was very popular back in the day. I was like, no, that's our music. You don't touch this. This is not a classroom topic.
Yeah, it seems like there's this underlying assumption that all language is used to achieve a goal, isn't there? But of course, it's really not. I mean, if you think about this conversation, what's our goal to record a podcast? Like, why? Yes. Like, there's no goal.
Yeah, maybe we should put waffling maybe a bit more on a pedestal. Today, the context is we're going to waffle.
Yeah, I mean, and I think if you actually look at the sort of maybe the origins of language, a lot of it comes down to like forming relationships with people, gossiping so that people can adhere to sort of social standards, and even just things like thinking, you know, the whole idea that is it possible to think if you don't know a language? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's not, and then the person you speak to the most in your life is yourself in your own head. Yep. Well, what's the communication or the outcome there? You write a diary. Well, why? Like, what's the point?
There's a very good point, because a lot is bonding. Sometimes you're showing empathy or something, but actually not because you're friends.
Then, do we have any sort of rules or guidance or guidelines for teachers of when is it useful to adhere to context and when is it useful to stab the sacred cow?
My most recent experience of learning a language just a few years ago in Spain, I really didn't like the first stage of the lesson with setting the context and engaging the students.
Really?
I don't need to see a picture of a clothes shop. Let's just practice the language, give me feedback on if I'm using the vocabulary correctly. The phrases are, how much does it cost? I mean, I know that, where you can use that language.
And I've seen a clothes shop before, right?
Well, do you think it's because of, you know, the learner, like a young learner or adult learners? And do you think it's kind of related?
I was thinking about it. I think it had to do with my level. I mean, I was very much A1. You got clothing items. It's basically, you're in a shop, you ask how much it costs. Well, what is my size? It's very concrete. So I think once it becomes less concrete, then indeed you do maybe have to spend a bit more time on the context. Something, once you're into phrases like, don't worry, I'll pick you up or something, then you do need context, I think, or at least brainstorm ideas for context. But then I think maybe at a lower level, sometimes it's better to just spend less time on that and just get to the practice, which I guess happens in teaching young learners on low levels.
All right. So thank you so much, Derek, for coming to our podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. See you next time. For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website, www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at TEFL Training Institute.
And if you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.